first section of the Zman, we've been talking about the halachas of tzitzis. So today I'd like to shift our attention to tefillin. We'll hopefully talk about halachas tefillin for a few weeks. We know that there are two parts of the mitzvah of tefillin. There's tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh. Are these two mitzvahs or are they one mitzvah? The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs counts them as two mitzvahs. A mitzvah saseh yud beis and a mitzvah saseh yud gimel. Why does he count them as two mitzvahs? So this is the old principle of the Rambam that he writes in the Sharoshim. The Rambam says whenever two mitzvahs or two inyonim are not ma'akev each other, so then they're completely independent. We don't look at them as one unit. If chalokim of a mitzvah are ma'akev each other, so then we say that it's one mitzvah. Right? Dalad minim, you have dalad minim ma'akvim zuazu, the Mishnah Menachah says. So since Dalad Minim Ma'akev Zuazu, if you have the three minim but you don't have an esrog, you have three minim, you don't have a lulav, there's no point. You can't take the three minim without the fourth. The Rambam holds that Dalad Minim are viewed as one mitzvah because they're ma'akev each other. But the same Mishnah says that tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh are not ma'akev each other. If you have a tefillin shel yad, then you put that on. So you miss the tefillin shel rosh, but it's not ma'akev you're putting on tefillin shel yad. So the Rambam assumes that if they're not ma'akev each other, they have to be viewed as two different mitzvahs. That's the Rambam sheet. It seems that not all the Rishonim agree with the Rambam that tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh are two different mitzvahs. How so? Because there's a machlokas Rishonim, what bracha do we make on tefillin? The Gemara Menachas and Daf Lamed Vav, and also at the end of brachas, has an interesting phrase. The Gemara says that you make a bracha on the tefillin shel yad, but if you speak between the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh, mevarech shtai, you make two brachas. The question is, what does that mean? What does mevarech shtai mean? So Rashi there explains that if you don't speak, if you're not soch, then you only make lahaniach tefillin on both the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh. Bracha achas. The Gemara says that if you make a bracha on the tefillin shel yad, and if lo soch, the Gemara doesn't say what you do if lo soch. The Gemara says if you soch, if you speak between the two the tefillin, then you're mevarech shtayim. So Rashi interprets that means that if you don't have a sikh, if you want mafsik between tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh, then you make a bracha lahaniach tefillin on tefillin shel yad. The sulamidi, that's all you make that goes on the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh. But soch mevarech shtayim means that if you spoke between the tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh, then on the tefillin shel rosh you have to make another bracha. The bracha lahaniach worked for the tefillin shel yad, but you make a bracha al mitzvahs tefillin on the tefillin shel rosh. Not that you make two brachas on the tefillin shel rosh if you soch between the tefillin, but if you soch between the tefillin, then you have to make a bracha al mitzvahs tefillin, a naya bracha, a new bracha, a second bracha on the tefillin shel rosh. That's how Rashi interprets the Gemara. Tosfos quotes the Rabbeinu Tan, who argues and says, no, you always make a bracha. One bracha on the tefillin shel yad, and another bracha on the tefillin shel rosh. You make a bracha lahaniach tefillin on the shel yad, and al mitzvahs tefillin on the shel rosh. But the Gemara is saying that if soch mevarech shtayim, if you speak between tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh, then you have to make two brachas on the tefillin shel rosh, lahaniach and the al mitzvahs, both of them on the tefillin shel rosh. That's what the Rabbeinu Tam holds. It's clear the Rabbeinu Tam seems to assume that tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh are two different mitzvahs. After all, that's why you're making two brachas. Right? You make two brachas even without soch. You're going to make two brachas. Why should you make two brachas on the tefillin shel rosh if you speak between the tefillin? How can you make two brachas on one mitzvah? Right? If you're making two different brachas because there are two mitzvahs here, so makes sense to make the two brachas always. But why should sicha change anything? Why should a hefsek change anything? That now you have to make two brachas on the tefillin shel rosh. So apparently the answer is the Rabbeinu Tam holds lohaniach normally goes on the tefillin shel rosh. It always goes on the tefillin shel rosh. The bracha lohaniach goes on both the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh. But there's an extra bracha that you make on the tefillin shel rosh. That's the idea, that if you soch between the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh, the bracha lahaniyah that you made on the tefillin shel yad doesn't go on the tefillin shel rosh anymore, so you have to make that bracha on the tefillin shel rosh as well. The Rav wanted to explain that really the two brachas reflect two different aspects of the mitzvah tefillin. That there's the ma'isa mitzvah of putting tefillin on, But there's also a chalos, there's a kedusha sagavra, there's a change of status of the individual that happens when he wears tefillin. And that specifically occurs through the tefillin shorosh. Tefillin shorosh, the Rambam writes, the tefillin shorosh is mekadesh, it transforms the individual. Becomes a different kind of a person, he has a certain tosefes kedusha. Specifically, the tefillin shorosh is the keser. That's what crowns the individual and changes him. It's because there's a kedusha sagavra that there's an issur to be mesiach das when a person is wearing the tefillin. He's not allowed to have a lapse of attention because there's an extra kedusha that he has. There's a transformation. The Rambam assumes there's a kind of transformation in the gavra by wearing the tefillin. The bracha al mitzvah's tefillin relates to the kedusha sagavra, claimed the Rav. A kedusha sagavra that's chal on the individual through the tefillin shel rosh. Interesting, even though the Rambam does connect, there's an Isser Hesach Hadas and Tefillin. Isser Hesach Hadas L'chora applies even if a person is only wearing Tefillin Shayav and not Tefillin Shirosh. But if it's associated with the Kedushas Agavra, and the Kedushas Agavra is the Din in the Tefillin Shirosh, you'd imagine that the Isser Hesach Hadas should only apply if he's wearing the Tefillin Shirosh. Interesting. But that's the idea, that the Baruch HaMitzvah's Tefillin relates to the Tefillin Shirosh, relates to the extra element of the Mitzvah that comes through the Tefillin Shorosh, the Kedusha Sagavra that the person gains through the Tefillin Shorosh. That's why generally you have an extra bracha for Tefillin Shorosh. If you're mafsik between the Tefillin Shayan and Tefillin Shorosh, the bracha lahaniach that went on the Tefillin Shorosh is now broken up. The bracha can't be chel on the Tefillin Shorosh. That's why the Rabbi Natan holds you have to make two brachas on the Tefillin Shorosh. Not that you make two brachas, one on the shayad, one on the shorosh. That you only make a bracha on the shorosh if you're mafsik, and if not, you only make a single bracha. No, you normally have to make two brachas, because there are two mitzvahs over here. But if you're mafsik between the tefillin shayad and tefillin shorosh, then you have to make two brachas on the tefillin shorosh, because the bracha laniach really went on the tefillin shorosh. It goes on both. But you need an extra bracha for the kedusha sagava, for the extra element that applies to the tefillin shorosh. So at first glance, you would think that the Rabbi Natan and Rashi are disagreeing about this point, whether Tefillin Shayan and Tefillin Shorosh are really two different mitzvahs. Because if they're one mitzvah, why should I make two different brachas on Tefillin Shayan and Tefillin Shorosh generally? There's got to be some extra element in the Tefillin Shorosh, and that's what I'm making a bracha on. Rashi, who seems to say that normally you make only one bracha on the Tefillin Shayan and Tefillin Shorosh, Rashi seems to be holding that they're really only one mitzvah. And that's why I only make a single bracha. If I'm mafsig between the Tefillin Shayan and Tefillin Shorosh, then I have to make a new bracha. Why make a new bracha? Just say the same bracha, the same old bracha. The answer is Rashi holds. If you made one bracha on the Tefillin Shayan, you can't make the same bracha on the Tefillin Shorosh. You got to say something new. But it's not that it's a separate mitzvah. It's really one mitzvah. There are two chalokim of one mitzvah. So the one bracha really is chal. It's just if you're mafsig in the middle, then you have to make a bracha on the second chalok. That's what you would imagine. The problem is the Rambam happens to hold like Rashi. Rambam says that you make two brachas only if you're mafsik. If you're not mafsik in the tefillin shayan tefillin shorosh, you make lahaniach tefillin on the shayan and it goes on the shorosh and that's it. And yet the Rambam is the Mara the Shmaitza who holds that tefillin shayan tefillin shorosh are two different mitzvahs. How can that be? Apparently the Rambam holds that even though tefillin shayan tefillin shorosh are two different mitzvahs, why do you have to make two birchas hamitzvah? They're two different mitzvahs, but lahaniach can be chal on both. It can relate to both. They're both tefillin. Lohaniach tefillin applies to both. You're putting on tefillin. So you don't have to make two different brachas. Rashi might hold that really it's one mitzvah. That's why he says you can't make two brachas because what's the point? You're only making one bracha because there's one mitzvah. The Rambam writes beferish in Sefer Mitzvahs that there are two mitzvahs over here, but yet he holds and normally you should only make a single bracha on the tefillin. So why is that? So the answer must be that this is not enough kamina between the shitas. Even if you hold like the Rambam that Tefillin Shayan and Tefillin Shorosh are really two different mitzvahs, you might also hold that you only make one bracha generally on the tefillin. The Haniyach tefillin is a bracha that's nusuch relates to both Tefillin Shayan and Tefillin Shorosh. The Rambam says it's enough to make one bracha. But if you mafsig between Tefillin Shayan and Tefillin Shorosh, then you have to make a bracha on Tefillin Shorosh because you have bracha on the Tefillin Shayan. Your original bracha cannot be chal on the Tefillin Shorosh. So this shaila might relate a little bit to this question, but it's not muhrach because the Rambam himself, who holds that tefillin shayan tefillin shorosh are two different mitzvahs, he holds that generally you should only make one bracha on the tefillin. How do we pass it? This is a major machlokes. So the Shulchan Aruch paskin, the Shulchan Aruch and the Vilna Gaon both paskin like Rashi. that generally we make one bracha on the tefillin. L'haniach tefillin. L'haniach tefillin is a bracha that you make both on the tefillin shayad, it's chal on the tefillin sharosh. You don't make a special bracha on the tefillin sharosh. Unless you mafsik. If you mafsik, you spoke between the tefillin shayad and the tefillin sharosh, it happens every so often. Generally it shouldn't happen. But sometimes it happens. A person says something. Whatever. He answers only to a bracha. That's a hefsek. If it has nothing to do with the tefillin, you're not allowed to answer only. So if he's mafsik between tefillin shayad and tefillin sharosh, then the Shulchan Aruch and the Gra, they hold like Rashi, they say that you make a bracha al mitzvah tefillin on the tefillin sharosh. But the Rama says no. The minig of the Ashkenazim is that you make two brachas on the tefillin. You make raniach on the shayad, al mitzvah on the tefillin sharosh. And if you're mafsik, then you make both of them on the tefillin sharosh. But the Rama adds a nekuda. Rama says that even though you do make al mitzvahs on the tefillin sharosh every day, whether you mafsik or not mafsik, but after making the bracha on the tefillin sharosh, you should say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso LeOlam Vod. Well, what are you saying, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso LeOlam Vod? What's Yom Kippur? What are you saying? I'm not going to say it out loud, but what are you saying it for? So the answer is to be choshesh v'shitas Rashi and the Rambam. Be choshesh for Rashi and the Rambam, normally you're not supposed to be making two different brachas, a separate bracha on the tefillin shirosh. Be choshesh for that shita, we say Baruch Shem, as if we made a bracha shein etzricha, we always say Baruch Shem. So we say this over here to be choshesh for the shita of the Rambam. Me'ikar adin, though, claims the Rambam, you're really supposed to make the two brachas. Right? Al mitzvahs really is the bracha on the tefillin shirosh. We say Baruch Shem because we're choshesh for the shita of the Rambam, then maybe Shidaram and Rashi, that maybe you're not supposed to be making a separate bracha on the tefillin sharosh unless you're mafsik. But the Mishnah Berurah points out you have to be very careful. You're making a bracha on the tefillin sharosh, make sure that you put the tefillin sharosh on before saying Baruch Hashem. Because if not, it'll be a hefsek. It'll be a hefsek between the bracha and the hanocha, right? And the placing of the tefillin sharosh. So make the bracha on mitzvah's tefillin, tighten the tefillin sharosh on your head, and then say Baruch Shem to be choshesh for the sheet of the Rambam. Okay, that's what the Ashkenazim do. The Sfaradim don't do this. Sfaradim only make a single bracha. When do you make the bracha? So we know by all brachas and mitzvahs you have to be mevarech dafka over las yosem, before you do the mitzvah. But over means before, not after, and not over the over, not too much before either. So it's important to keep in mind that you have to make the bracha when you're about to fulfill the mitzvah. So when it comes to the tefillin shel yad, you can't make the bracha when it's still in the zekel, when it's still in the bag, or even when you're holding it. You got to put it on your arm, right in the mokom atfillin, right before you're tying it on. Then you make the bracha so that it's over las yasa, not over the over, not too much before, and not after you tie it. And similarly, when it comes to the tefillin shel rosh, you have to put it sort of on your head, just not tightened. It has to be sort of there. It's complicated sometimes, because sometimes when you put it down, it's already tightened. So you have to make sure that it's not tightened completely, but it's close to the makom. Make the bracha on the tefillin sharosh, and then you have to tighten the tefillin. Okay. What's the makom for hanachas tefillin? Where are you supposed to put the tefillin? So we all know that the tefillin shayad are put on the weaker hand. It says, v'hoy la'os al yodcha. That word yodcha is written yodcha, mole, right? Yud dalet chav hey. Chazal darshan yad keha, a weaker hand. And that you're supposed to put the tefillin shayad on the weaker hand. So that's why someone who's a righty will put tefillin on his left hand. That's one reason that's given in Chazal, yad keha. Others say that uksharta mechsavtam, there's a hekesh between kshiras tefillin and ksivas mezuzah. Or ksivas tefillin, ksivas stam. So maksiva b'yamin, afkshira b'yamin. That a person who writes with his right hand, so he's supposed to do the kshira with his right hand. So by tying the tefillin with your right hand, that means that the tefillin are being placed on your left hand. You can't tie the tefillin with your right hand if you're putting it on your right hand. It doesn't work. Right? So these are two different reasons for why righties will put tefillin on their left hand. Either there's a drush of yad keha, from the word yodcha, that you have to put a dafka on the weaker hand, or kshar t'machsavtam teaches me the maksiva b'yamin, akshira b'yamin. The Gemara Menachas and Daf Lamed Zayin says that an iter, that a lefty, puts the tefillin on his weaker hand. What's his weaker hand? The right hand. His right hand, since he writes with his left hand, his strong hand is his left hand, so he puts the tefillin on his right hand. How many lefties are there here? Okay, a few. Good. So a lefty will put his tefillin on the right hand. The Zohar happens to disagree. The Zohar says that everyone should put tefillin on their left hand, whether they're a righty or a lefty. I'm not going to ask which hand you put it on. Okay, but that's machlokas, the Gemara, and the Zohar. So normally when there's a machlokas, the Gemara, and the Zohar, how do we paskin? Of course. How do we paskin? Like the? Don't say the Zohar. Like the Gemara. Right? Normally when there's a machlokas, the Gemara, and the Zohar, we paskin like the Gemara. That's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Gemara. But there are those who are machmir for the Zohar. I mean, the Zohar is a source, right? It's a very important source. So even though Me'ikar, then we paskin like the Gemara, that a lefty puts tefillin on his right hand, on his weaker hand, but since the Zohar holds that everyone should put tefillin on their left hand, so some lefties are machmir that at the end of davening, they move the tefillin to the other hand. They turn the tefillin backwards. So even though the kesher is sort of not on the right side, you know, the kesher is supposed to be close to the lathe. It's supposed to be on the inside of the tefillin. But if you flip the tefillin, you're going to tie the tefillin on, if you're going to tie the tefillin the right way, so then the bias is going to be backwards. Right? So that's the way it goes. Right? So they tie the tefillin. Let's say a person ties the tefillin away from them. So when they tie the tefillin on their right hand, so the yud, the kesher of the tefillin is toward the inside, and then they're tying away from the hand. So if they're going to put the tefillin on the other way, so to make the yud face them, then they have to tie the tefillin towards them. If they're going to tie it away, then the yud is not going to be facing toward the lake. So either way, you're going to have to flip it somehow. But at least the tefillin's on the arm. At least you can be yotzei the zohar in some way or form. So that's what they do. That's what they do. It's not ma'akev that the kesher should be connected halev. That's the appropriate thing. But to be machmir for the zohar, they're all lefties that flip the tefillin. What's the din if a lefty doesn't do everything with his left hand? Right, let's just focus on lefties for another moment. Let's say they don't do everything with some lefties taka right, and they bat right and they throw right, right? Or they bat left and they throw left, right? Southpaws. Yeah, so they type on the computer with their left. I'm just kidding. They type on the computer with both hands. But they, you know, they write with their left hand. They bat left. They punch. I mean, they throw left. Whatever they do everything with their left hand. But there are some lefties that don't do everything with their left hand. So there are some lefties that write with their left hand. But rov malachtam, they do with their right hand. Very common. Very common. My son writes with his left hand, but most my oldest son writes with his left hand. But I think he does most of the malacha with his right hand. He was this shy. You know, children can sometimes be challenging. You know, you got to look into these shylets. You know, which hand is he going to put tefillin on? So that's mamish discussed in Shulchan Aruch. So machlokas rishonim. So some say that we follow ksivo k'shayta machsavtam. If that's the reason why the righties put the tefillin on the left hand, because the ksivas be amen. So if the ksivas be small, and there's nothing to talk about. According to the Gemara, you should have to put the tefillin on the right hand. But others say that no, from the Gemara it sounds like the Mokar is Yodcha, Yad Keha, the weaker hand. So if Rov Malachto is with the right hand, then your weaker hand is the left hand, so then you should be putting tefillin on the left hand. It's Mamish, could be a steer, it could be enough gemin between the different Makaras. So the Shulchan Aruch brings the two dais and is not Machri, he doesn't decide. But the Ramah says the Minig is to follow Ksiva. The Minig always follows Ksiva. That if a lefty writes with the left hand, even if they do most of the malacha with their right hand, they put the tefillin on their right hand. But the Vilna Gaon disagrees. The Vilna Gaon says that no, it follows rov malachta. So a lefty who does rov malachta with his right hand should put the tefillin on the left hand. This shayla comes up left and right. If you're part of the time, right? It comes up pretty frequently. And there are different streams of the poskim as to what to do. So many on taka makbe that even if the pure lefty doesn't have to be machmir for the zohar, the pure lefty could just put on tefillin on his right hand. But in this strange circumstance, many lefties in this circumstance will be machmir at the end of davening to change the tefillin to the other hand. So they'll follow the ramah. Many follow the ramah. That's the ikaminig to follow the ksiva. So they'll put tefillin on their right hand for davening if they write with their left hand. Then at the end of davening, there'll be machmir for the other shita, because this is not just a zohar. Right? It's not just a zohar that they should be putting tefillin, that everyone should be putting tefillin on their left hand, but rather it's more than that. It's that that even if they should be putting tefillin on a different hand, there are some who claim that if rov malachtam is biyamin, then they're treated like a righty. So then they should be putting tefillin on the left hand. So many more even those who would not be machmer for the Zohar, but in this circumstance they would be machmer to say that the lefty should actually flip the tefillin to the left hand at the end of that. Okay. What's the makom to put the tefillin on the left hand? Where exactly on the whichever hand you're on? So the Gemara says you put it on the kiboris, you put it on the muscle. And some of the Rishonim have a lashon plag zroa, that it's half of the zroa, meaning you should put it on the lower half of the muscle. Be careful to put it on the lower half of the muscle, keneged the lev. That's where the tefillin shayad is supposed to be. Where the tefillin shorosh is supposed to be? Bein einecha. What does bein einecha mean? Between the eyes? No, we learn a drasha in the Gemara Kedushin from tefillin to karcha. Is a din that someone is not supposed to cut the skin, cut the head, rip out the hair, or make sritas in the head for a mace. Bein einecha doesn't only mean between the eyes, but it means the kol harosh berosh shebein einayim. So we say by tefillin also bein einecha just means between the eyes, but by the rosh, by the hair, it's supposed to rip out the hair. So that's the makom for tefillin. It's very important to keep in mind that the tefillin really should be placed not between the eyes mamish; it has to be placed above the hairline. Above the hairline that exists, or above the hairline that used to be over there. Right? It doesn't have to, above the hair, depending on how much hair a person has, you can't put it above the hairline. But it means when a person was younger, he had a hairline, so that's where the tefillin is supposed to be. It's not supposed to be below that. Some people make a mistake, they put the tefillin too low. It's really supposed to be above, and then it's supposed to go, it shouldn't be beyond the mokom shel tinok roface, where the tinok has a soft spot. In the head, it's not supposed to be past that. It's a window of opportunity there, right? There's a window that the tefillin shorosh is supposed to be, and not too low and not too high. But it's also supposed to be centered between the eyes. Does it have to be like perfect between the eyes? You know, you need the mirror to make sure it has to be perfect. It shouldn't be off to the side. Sometimes you look at people, Amish walking around with a tefillin on the side of the head. they should use a mirror. But has to be in the middle. It has to be in the middle of the eyes. Some people, they feel they want to make sure it's mamish in the middle, so they get the mirror. I'm not against the mirror, but you know, if you put on the tefillin, then you can start to move your hair to make sure it looks good. So I think that's a little too much. Just look at the mirror to see exactly where the tefillin is. It should be between the eyes. The adkan. What's the din of chatzitza by tefillin? So the Gemara in Erechin has a very interesting sugya. Gemara says that Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash did not wear the tefillin shel yad at the time of the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, but they wore the tefillin shel rosh. Why didn't they wear the tefillin shel yad? So the Gemara says because the big day kahuna have to be on the Guf HaKohen without a chatzitza. The big day kahuna have to be worn, the sleeve of the ksonis has to be worn on the Guf of the Kohen. So if they're going to put tefillin shel yad on their hands, so then there's going to be a chatzitza between the big day kahuna and their bodies. That's why they didn't wear tefillin shayyad. But tefillin shayrosh they did wear because there was no chatzitza. They could wear the mikbas, they could wear the hat without there being a chatzitza between the tefillin and the head. So they wore the tefillin shayrosh without the tefillin shayyad. How can they wear one without the other? That's not a kasha. They're not ma'akid each other. So they wore the tefillin shayyad, but not the tefillin shayrosh. The question is, okay, so there's a din that you're not allowed to have a chatzitza between the big day kahuna and the body of the kohen. So just wear the tefillin on top of the big day kahuna. Then you want to have a chatzitza between the big day kahuna and the body of the kohen. I can understand why you can't wear the tefillin below the big day kahuna, between the big day kahuna and the body, but why not wear the tefillin on top of the big day kahuna? So Zokta Rosh, Masechta Megillah, the reason why they didn't wear the tefillin on top of the big day kahuna is why? What do you think? Not only is there a din of chatzitza in the big day kahuna, there's a din of chatzitza by tefillin too. Right? You can't wear the tefillin on top of your shirt. You have to wear it on the zroa, on the body. So they couldn't wear the tefillin below the big day kahuna, there would be a chatzitza between the big day kahuna and the body. They couldn't wear the tefillin on top of the big day kahuna, because then there would be a chatzitza between the tefillin and the body of the kohen. So that's why they didn't wear tefillin shoyah. They only wore tefillin shorosh, because there's no problem with chatzitza. There's no problem with chatzitza there. It can be directly on the head. That's what the Rosh writes. Comes the Rajba and says, no. There's really no din of chatzitza by tefillin shayyad. I said, there's no chatzitza, no problem of chatzitza by tefillin shayyad, so why did the Kohanim wear the tefillin on top of the big day kahuna? But the Rajba, a different idea. The pasuk says, v'hoya l'cha la'os al yadcha, l'cha la'os. So the Gemara says, "L'cholaos v'lo la'cherim los." That the tefillin are supposed to be b'makom achusa, supposed to be covered. So if the kohanim were to have worn the tefillin shi'an on top of the brita kohuna, it would be a problem of l'cholaos v'lo la'cherim los. It's not that there's a problem of chatzitza; it's that the tefillin shayad have to be covered. So that's why they couldn't wear the tefillin shayad on top of the brita kohuna. That's why they didn't wear the tefillin shayad. Frek the Magen Avram, go ahead. Frek the Magen Avram. According to the Rashba, they should have worn the tefillin shayad, but just cover them. If the problem is not one of chatzitza, let them just cover the tefillin. Let them just cover the tefillin. Zok the Magen Avram. The reason they couldn't have covered the tefillin according to the Rashba is because what are they going to cover the tefillin with? Some other kind of beged? Then the coin is going to have too many begadim. Right? The coin is only supposed to have four begadim. The coin, Hedron has four begadim, coin Gadol has eight begadim. Meruba begadim is possible. He can't have too many begadim. He can't do the avodah with too many begadim. So if the coin is going to cover his tefillin in order to make sure that it's l'chala'os, he'll be meruba begadim and the avodah is going to be possible. I can't divide. So it comes out that according to the Rashba, this idea that you can't cover the tefillin, it's a din by a kohen, but not by a regular Yisrael. It's, in fact, it's not even by a kohen shalom b'shas avodah. Shas avodah, the kohen can't have too many begadim on, so he's not allowed to cover the tefillin, but shalom b'shas avodah, he will be able to cover the tefillin. So we come out, according to the Magen Avram's understanding of the Rashba, let's say someone has a cast. It's a cast on his arm. And we're not talking about a cast on his lower arm. We're talking about a cast on the makom tefillin. A cast on the makom tefillin, that's the chatzitza. The ritzuas are sort of tofel to the tefillin. They're important, but it's shiari mitzvah. That's not the ikar. Right? That's not a chatzitza down here is not an issue. There's nothing really to talk about over there. But let's say a person has a cast. So according to the Rush, forget about it. You can't put on the tefillin shi'ad, because if it's chotzei, it's in the makom atfillin, and that means the makom where the bias goes, and the makom where the first few ritsuos surround the arm, because you need those straps to keep it tied on to the arm properly, the first two or three. So then there's a chatzitza, according to the Rush. You can't be able to mitzvah tefillin, so there's no point in putting on the tefillin shi'ad. You can put on tefillin shi'arosh, right? Because you don't have a cast there, but according to the Rush, there's a din of chatzitza, both by tefillin shi'ad and by tefillin shi'arosh. So if he has a cast, he has some kind of a bandage on the makom of the tefillin, and he's not able to wear the tefillin shayad at all. But according to the Rashba, according to the Magen Avram's understanding of the Rashba, he can still put the tefillin right there on the cast, right there on the bandage. Because there is no chatzitza by tefillin shayad. There's no chatzitza by tefillin bichlal. There's just a din, l'chala os, that the tefillin shayad have to be mechusa. So just put the tefillin on the bandage and cover it over. And if you cover it over, then you could be otze kedasu kidney. That's enough gemina between the Rosh and the Rashba, right? Someone who has a chatzitza on his body, can he still put on tefillin, but just cover over the tefillin? Of course, the other issue, the other nafkamina, is whether there's a din of chatzitza by tefillin shorosh. According to the Rosh, yes, there's a din of chatzitza both by tefillin shayad and by tefillin shorosh. According to the Rashba, no, there's no din of chatzitza by tefillin b'chalal. There's a different halacha that the tefillin shayad has to, have to be mechusa, but there's no din of chatzitza b'chalal. So in tefillin shorosh, let's say someone has a chatzitza, that he has a bandage, or he's wearing some kind of a headpiece or something. Let's say there are people who need that. So he's wearing a headpiece, he could put tefillin right on top of the headpiece, according to the Rashba. According to the Rosh, he has to be machmir, but according to the Rashba, he could be a mako. So how do we paskin? So the Shulchan Aruch is actually machmir like the Rosh. The Shulchan Aruch says that you should be machmir, that there's a din of chatzitza by tefillin. A person should be sensitive to that. Let's say he has a chatzitza, he can't take it off. He can't take the toupee off. It's too embarrassing for him to take it off. So, but d'yevet, there might be room to be mekel that maybe he could wear it. Maybe he shouldn't make a bracha on the tefillin shirosh. Maybe privately he should put on the tefillin later. Maybe he could take off the headpiece later and put on the tefillin shirosh later and make a bracha to be machmer for the rosh. But to be machmer for the. Right, you should put on the tefillin without a bracha to be machmer for the Rashba, but later on, maybe you should take off the headpiece, take off the chatzitza if you can, to be machmer for the Rosh, and maybe there is a din of chatzitza that the tefillin shel Rosh as well. And finally, the Achronim talk about, according to the Rosh, that there is a problem of chatzitza by tefillin. Does that even apply to the ritzuas? Sometimes people put the tefillin on, the tefillin shariyat, and then they wrap around the ritzua on the upper arm, above the elbow. And sometimes, depending on how big the arm is, the tefillin shaliyah, the bias, could be on top of the ritzua itself. So is that a problem? Many do that. There are some people who tie the tefillin, and then the first ritzua really goes behind the arm, and then it goes on to the lower arms. And that's not a problem, because the bias is not on that area. But for those who put the first ritzua on the upper arm, so very often the bias is going to be on top of the ritzua. Is that a problem? That's a big machlokas in the poskim. Some say that's not a problem. A chatzitza b'chalal, even if you're going to be machmir for the rush, why shouldn't it be a problem of chatzitza? But you're separating between the bias and the skin. So they invoke a halacha in the Gemara that min b'mino eino chotzitz. Min b'mino eino chotzitz. It's a min of the tefillin. The ritzua is part of the tefillin. That's not a din chatzitza. There's no din chatzitza if it's min b'mino. I said there's no chatzitza with that. And others say no, there is a problem. Why is there a problem? But if min b'mino eino chotzitz, then there shouldn't be a problem. So the other post can say, this halacha is not, it's not a chatzitza dika halacha. It's not a din chatzitza. It's that the tefillin have to be on the zroah. They have to be on the body of the individual. So even if al-pidin, it's not a chatzitza, the reality is it's separating between the body and the tefillin. So that's the problem. So even if the ritzua is a min of the tefillin, it still would be a problem. We call it a problem of chatzitza. It's not really chatzitza, it's a misnomer. It's really a problem that there has to be negiyah, that the tefillin has to actually touch the body of the person. Al yodcha, it has to be on the yad itself. It's gzeras hakosov, that it has to be on the yad, it has to be nogea in the yad, nogea in the zroah. So that's the case, even if it's min b'mino, even if it's a chelik of tefillin, maybe it would be chotzit. So it's better to try to avoid that kind of thing, to make sure that the bias is not going to be between, it's not going to be above the ritzua. It shouldn't be a piece of the ritzua separating between the bias and the arm. Some of the posts can talk about how much hair person can have before it becomes a chatzitza. Sometimes a person has very long hair, so there are some poskim who say that if the hair is really too long, it's a chatzitza. So Mishnah Berurah says even if it's not a chatzitza, we don't know how much hair that is, how long does it really have to be. If it's very long, it really would be a chatzitza. But even if it's not a chatzitza, but the longer the hair becomes, the harder it is to keep it in the right spot. The tefillin move around a lot. So it really is appropriate. It really is appropriate to cut one's hair a bit shorter. It doesn't have to be so short. You know, I'm not sure what that is. Is that a 4, a 3, a 2, a 1, whatever that is, right? It should be somewhat shorter. A person shouldn't grow their hair long anyway. Not just because of tefillin, but that's appropriate. Ben Torah doesn't have long hair in general. But specifically for tefillin, a person wants to put on tefillin, and the tefillin should be in the right spot. So Mishnah Berurah says that if a person's hair is a little bit longer, the tefillin is going to be moving. It's going to be moving too much. And at a certain point, the taka could be viewed as a chatzitza. Even though the hair is attached to the person, maybe a taka would be viewed as a chatzitza. So it really is appropriate to keep a haircut short, b'mitzat hashkofa, b'mitzat halacha, so that the tefillin will be placed on the proper spot and they won't move around. Yes?
What about like a nazir?
A nazir. Okay, a nazir has that's a good child. Right, a nazir has a different din. So for him, if he has an iser to cut off his hair, so he's going to have to be very careful that the tefillin stay put on his head. He'll have to somehow figure out a way to keep it on the head. But you probably wouldn't call his hair a chatzitza because it's mamish a chelik of his guf. I think for most people, since a person is going to take a haircut at some point in time, so there comes a point where the hair really is a chatzitza. Even if he's not planning on taking a haircut this week, but at some point he is gonna take the haircut. If he's gonna take a haircut, then the hair for him is a chatzitza. Nasir, he's not gonna take a haircut. He's not allowed to take a haircut. So hair for him is mamash a chelik of his guf. So that wouldn't be a problem.